Hello, and welcome to the I Hope Empowers podcast. Have you ever wondered why the birthplace of Christianity is now almost all Islamic? Back then, it was largely due to Christian apathy and fear, and now we're in danger of repeating history. Islam is growing here while Christianity is declining, and yet just 2% of Christians are sharing the gospel, with tremendous implications for future generations. This podcast is all about empowering you and your family to help reverse those trends. Welcome back. I'm here together with Renaud Bijani, I Hope Ministries co-founder and my husband. And Renaud, it's been an incredible journey together through these years, and I've really observed you be intentional about sharing the gospel with Muslims that you meet in your day-to-day life, as well as to entire congregations at mosques. And so I'm just curious if you have a time where you've shared the gospel with a Muslim that really stands out to you.
Oh, there are plenty. That's an excellent question. I want to bring an example that every Christian can do. So not only is this story something that can be duplicated by others, but it is the most heartfelt story that I get passionate about. And it's a story about Vivian. Vivian is a Muslim Syrian refugee, and we met her through the ministry as we were doing English language classes, English language conversation partners with Muslim refugees. So that's where we met Vivian and her mom and aunt. So Vivian at the time was back in 2014. Vivian was 19 years old at the time. She was a tiny thing. And she was born handicapped. I don't know how to describe it other than her body was crunched up and she had to be carried everywhere and put in a wheelchair. But Vivian had a smile that warmed up everybody, brightened up the room wherever she was at. She was warm and loving, and I could see a lot of emotional pain in the eyes of her mom and aunt. So we met them together through 7 different sessions of English language conversation partners. But the way we did it was everything was scripture-centered and gospel-centered. So as we practiced English with them, we also brought Bible verses in. So one of the things that I remember most with Vivian and her mom was the fact that every time we would invite them to read scripture and to learn that way, they embraced it. And every time we invited them to say, well, you know, could we pray for you? As Christians, we pray in the name of Jesus. And every time they embraced that. And they had heard that prayers in Jesus' name result sometimes in miracles. So they always had the same prayer request, the first 6 times. So we did it all together 7 times with them, but the first 6 times they prayed the same prayer and the same prayer request, and that was for a miraculous healing of Vivian. So I remember being a little bit afraid, saying, Lord, I'm asking for a miracle in Jesus' name. But I believed. I would fast and pray before meeting with them and knowing that they were going to ask this prayer. So I prayed wholeheartedly. And I know, Karen, you prayed wholeheartedly. And we asked God for miraculous healing for Vivian. But she was not physically healed. But that didn't stop them. They kept coming back asking for the same prayer. And they kept reading scripture. They kept engaging us in gospel-centered conversations where we'd talk about Jesus and how he healed. We'd read for them stories and we'd have them read stories of how Jesus healed people and so on. And then one night, we asked for prayers. and if they wanted prayer in Jesus' name. And that was the seventh time. And they said yes. So we asked them the typical question, what is your prayer request tonight? And they asked that they will be saved, that they wanted to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They didn't ask for a physical miracle that night. And you and I prayed with Vivian. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then her mom and her aunt. So on that seventh encounter to get together with them, they asked to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then I asked them later, why didn't you pray? Ask for us to pray to physically heal Vivian again. They said, because we believe that God already accomplished his purpose in us meeting you, Karen and Renaud. And that was for us to be healed spiritually and eternally. And we will be healed for eternity in paradise with God. And that was overwhelming for you and me. But more happened. At one point, Vivian and her mom asked, why haven't we heard that before? We met Christians back in our home country of Syria, but they never shared Jesus with us. They never told us that he is Lord and Savior. They never told us that he died. He came to earth. God came as a human in the flesh. They never shared the gospel with us that he died and was resurrected so he could save us. Why didn't that happen? Why did it take war in Syria and for us to be displaced as refugees before Christians actually came and loved on us? I didn't have an answer for them, except that, well, God uses all things, works all things out, and he has given us the opportunity to meet you, and we've shared the gospel, and you've responded. But then you see, Vivian's dad was still back in Syria. He was still in the middle of the war. Her mom said, well, what about my husband? He's never heard. What's going to happen to him? We miss him. We don't know what's going on. We don't even know how to get in touch with each other. How is he going to know about Jesus Christ? What if we never reunite here physically on earth? What if he's already dead? I couldn't answer that except pray. So we prayed for Vivian's father and his salvation. And then that was the last time Karen, you and I saw Vivian alive. The following week, Vivian, at 19 years old, suddenly fell ill and died. I had the opportunity to meet with her mother and aunt one more time after that, and I prayed for them, saying, Lord, what about the faith of these young Christians? They prayed for a miracle, for physical healing. It never happened. And yes, they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But now, a couple of weeks later, Vivian is dead. And they don't know what happened to her father. So I prayed for them. And when I met Vivian's mom, I was worried about how she going to react. And she said, Vivian is now singing with the angels, praising God in heaven. And she thanked me. She saw me as a miracle. She saw you and me, Karen, as miracles for Vivian and them, because God had put us in their lives in the exact time so Vivian can accept Jesus Christ before her death, and now she is miraculously and spiritually healed for eternity. No more pain, no more suffering. And then she just wanted to know, to pray that she will be reunited one day with her husband so he can hear the good news.
So your story, Renaud, should have come with a mascara alert. So what's been the most rewarding part of this journey for you?
Well, it's seeing other Christians step up and get involved and start sharing Jesus. Start accepting the reality that God has two primary purposes for us. One is to know Him and have a close personal relationship with Him. But most Christians, 98% in Christianized nations, stop there. The other primary purpose is interconnected, and that is to make Him known, to spread His love, His fame, to others that don't know Him. Jesus put it this way, the two greatest commandments, when they ask Him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second one, He said, He went on, the second one is like it. He interconnected them together, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then He went on to share stories of what that looks like. So for us, for me, what's most rewarding is to see Christians start getting involved, realizing that their purpose is not just to know Jesus and accept Him as Lord and Savior, become disciples of Him and follow Him, but also to make Him known, to make other disciples, to bring them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to grow the kingdom that way. So one particular example would be Lisa is a Christian living here in America, and she knew of a lot of Muslims in her area that have come into the area, but she was afraid of them. So she's just like any other Christian, the typical Christian, like I was, a little bit fearful, apprehensive, stayed away from Muslims, just like I used to. And then as she became convicted that she needs to become more outreach-oriented, that she needs to interconnect these two greatest commandments together, that it wasn't just about Lisa and her family, but that she is to become an instrument of redemption for others. So she's become a disciple. Now she needs to become an ambassador for Christ and make other disciples. So Lisa and her husband, they are introverts. But they had a life group or a home group, Bible study locally, and they decided as a group that they need to become more outreach-oriented. So they're going to step out of their comfort zone, and they're just going to go out and start inviting everybody in the neighborhood to their life group, home group, Bible study. So they went, they got out of their comfort zone, they started knocking on door, they went two by two, Lisa and her husband, others, and out of all the invitation that they had, people were typically polite, thanks, but no thanks. On one particular door, Lisa knocked on the door, a woman answered, introduces herself as Rose, and when Lisa invited Rose to her Bible study, Rose said, yes. And she asked, well, can I bring my kids? Lisa had kids, so Lisa said, absolutely. So Lisa looked at that as the Lord responding to their prayer, and they were very excited. So the home group celebrated that Rose and her kids will attend, and the night came, and Rose and the kids showed up, and so in good tradition, when new people would join the group, Lisa and her husband and the rest of the group each took about a minute to introduce themselves, just real quickly, how they came to know Christ. Another minute for a summary of their testimony. So they did that as a group, and that was Rose's turn. And then Rose said, well, my birth name is Zahra. In English, that means rose. And I am a Muslim. And my father is an imam in a local mosque. And there was a hush in the room. Fear gripped Lisa and her husband. At that point, they didn't know what to do. Lisa would later share that they said, well, we don't know anything about Islam. We don't know anything about Muslims. We don't know anything about the culture, the religion, the Quran, the politics. So fear gripped them. So they said, well, let's take a quick break. Everybody get a snack. And Lisa and her husband retreated to a room alone. And they said, well, what do we do now? And they decided to pray. So they prayed, Lord, what do we do? Do we end the Bible study tonight? We haven't even started, and we know there's a Muslim among us. What do we do? And the Lord said, just have the Bible study. So they did. They had the Bible study with Muslim Zahra or Rose, the daughter of a local imam, in their presence. And they asked Rose if she would like to have a Bible, and she agreed. And she joined them in the Bible study. Well, at the end of each Bible study, they have prayer requests. So they asked Rose, can we pray for you in Jesus' name? And Rose accepted. So week after week, Rose and the kids kept coming. So they loved on her. They prayed with her in Jesus' name. They had a Bible study with her. And they kept getting encouraged with that. And she would ask them questions. And since they didn't know anything about Islam, they sort of just start applying the principles that I know. And that is, well, let's look it up in the Bible. So by then they had Google and all kinds of apps. So they would look up words or ask the questions within the apps that Rose/Zahra would ask them, and they would start looking through scripture together to find the answers. And eventually, they got enough nerve to ask Rose if she'd like to attend church with them, and Rose said yes. So she went to church with them, took her kids. And then they did it again. And eventually her husband started coming to church with them. The process took about a year. But Zahra, Rose, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And then later got baptized in front of her family. And then her kids accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then her husband accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And they all got baptized. So that's one of those stories that just stands out for me. That we need a lot of Lisas in the world. It can't be just Renaud and Karen. It's Lisa. And the Lord has blessed us with about 7,500 Lisas that have come through our workshops. And thousands of them that have started going out and reaching out to the Zahras of the world. Just applying the simple five principles, the five essentials, biblical essentials that we teach, that I just talked about, that Lisa actually applied. Innocently, it is something that every Christian can do. So the examples of Lisa motivate me, they excite me, because it's something that I did. It is something that every Christian can do everywhere in the world and become part of the solution to turn around these trends, these alarming trends. The solution is simple. All we have to do is obey the Lord, faithfully follow Him, and do what He's asked us to do as ambassadors for Christ.
Thank you for joining us on the I Hope Empowers podcast. Our vision is for every Muslim to hear the gospel through an authentic relationship with a Christian. Learn more on our blog and find other resources on our website, www.ihopeministries.org.